Do you have an issues, etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your issues, etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues, Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
So often those contemporary issues are used to polarize. We see them as calling us together to convene. Our unity is within our diversity.
That's just nonsense. Of course, if you have diversity on key core Christian teachings and doctrines, you've got big time problems.
Whole fitness for Jesus. I do feel a spiritual connection whenever you have the music on and it's singing about lifting you up and being closer to God. You do feel that.
Pop American Christianity, in an ill-fated attempt to get the gospel out, has really asked the world what it wants.
Washington jet drivers love Issues, Etc.
For many Christians today, we need to realize this if we're going to do what we're going to do here in the first hour of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon. For many Christians today, this is church music. This is the music of the Christian life, and for some of them, this is the soundtrack of their spiritual life. Popular praise and worship music has taken over. Let's admit it. It's not only taken over in terms of what's being played on Sunday morning, what's being sung on Sunday morning, and that way it, whether we like it or not, shapes the devotion, the life, and the faith. That's the ultimate concern here of millions of Christians, not only in the United States, but it's also a product that is marketed and sold, and in that way also speaks to the culture in many ways. What is the message? What is it saying both within and outside the church? We're going to review some of the popular praise and worship music that you may be hearing in your church here in the first hour of Issues, Etc., live this Tuesday, April the 6th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. That'll take the entire first hour with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. Then in the second hour of the program, Dr. Michael New will join us. We'll talk about state abortion laws and abortion rates. Do they have an inverse proportion to one another? The more state abortion laws, the less the abortions, we'll find out. Then Alan Wisdom of the Institute on Religion and Democracy will join us to talk about the battle currently being waged and probably all the way through the summer in the Presbyterian Church USA over openly homosexual pastors. It looks as though the tide is turning. This is the fourth time that the leadership of the PCUSA has attempted to get openly gay clergy, and this time it looks like they may actually get it. Then, after our conversation with Alan Wisdom, Dr. Gene Edward Veith will join us. We'll remember 16th century artists. We could call them Reformation artists, Lucas Cranach and Albrecht Dürer. And we'll talk about Christianity, the arts, as well with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, author of numerous books, including State of the Arts. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is a regular guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and he's co-host of a weekly radio program called Table Talk Radio. Brian, welcome back.
And a bureaucrat, Todd. You forgot that.
Well, I would say a sonatocrat, but we can quibble over our nomenclature here. I know how much you guys like to quibble over the nomenclature. Laying that aside, you are also a former evangelical yourself. Please tell us, Brian, what role, how important in your spiritual life was this kind of music in your former days?
It was, I remember Carrie, my wife, and I met when she was playing in a praise band, and I was, and I would often help. I'd do this with our youth group. We'd get out the guitar, and we'd be leading praise and worship songs, and this, the praise time there, when you're there with the praise song, it becomes the most important part of your Christian life. That's because that's where you connect with God. I mean, that's the idea of praise and the praise and worship music. That's where you pour your life out to Him. That's where the Lord comes and touches you. And so this becomes, in fact, the chief. Everything is to and from this sort of thing because you're, at least for me, your assurance of salvation and the place you're standing before God is based on that feeling and that experience that you have when you're praising God in the praise and worship time.
Well, aside from the feeling element, that sounds an awful lot like a sacrament to me, Brian.
Well, it's the opposite of the sacrament, really, because in the sacraments the Lord is coming to give us something. In praise and worship, we're coming to give God something. We're coming to offer ourselves to Him, to lay our hearts before Him, to open ourselves to Him, things like this. And so it's the opposite direction. I mean, a sacrament is the Lord coming to us to give us something. Praise and worship is us coming to God to offer Him something. And more than that, the sacraments, and this is perhaps the chief difference, the sacraments are things that are outside of us, so they're objectively true. Praise and worship is generally about what's going on inside of you. In fact, I've been trying to track down some of these writers of these songs, the praise and worship songs, and interview them. I'm going to put the information together here pretty soon in a little project I'm working on. And I think that the kind of consistent answer that I get from them when I ask, what is the role of the praise leader? What is happening in worship? It is that... it is that we are experiencing somehow the presence of God, and it's an internal experience, a subjective experience of God's presence. So, in many ways, it's praise and worship is the exact opposite of a sacrament.
Okay, now we're using the term praise and worship here not in its biblical or its reformational sense, but in its popular sense.
Right.
Its popular cultural and pop Christianity sense. How would you define praise and worship rightly as opposed to what we may hear emblematically portrayed in some of the popular praise and worship music?
We had the text from Matthew this morning in Matins, and so a lot of your listeners would have probably heard it this last Sunday from the three-year lectionary where the Lord Jesus himself says to his disciples, when he's rebuking them for talking about who's the greatest, he says, I came not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. And that is that has to be the key thing for thinking of worship in the Bible. Worship is the Lord coming to us and blessing us with his promise of forgiveness. He delivers to us the gifts that Jesus won on the cross. Old Testament, New Testament, no matter what, that's what worship is. So, like in the Old Testament, we have this beautiful text in Exodus 20 where the Lord says, where I cause my name to be remembered, there I'll come to you and bless you. And so that's what worship is. The Lord giving us the gift of the cross of Jesus in his word of promise, and like you mentioned, in his sacraments as well.
With a few minutes before the break, and on the other side of the break, we will review some of these the most popular praise and worship songs for Sunday morning in many churches. What is the primary difference between this popular praise and worship music and, for lack of a better term, traditional sacred church music?
Well, I think it depends on what you're talking about, traditional sacred church music. That's actually a big question, because I've got family that are Baptists, and they'll talk about, they have a contemporary service and a traditional service. They use that same language. And in the traditional service, they're singing old Baptist hymns, and in the contemporary service, they're singing new Baptist hymns. And the thing is, for when I look at that, it's all the same. There, I would say it like this. You have, and you introduced the word, I think we can use it helpfully, we have sacramental sacramental worship, and we have mystical worship. And the difference is the action from God to us or from us to God, and is the action outside of us or inside of us? These are the two big questions. And modern praise and worship music, it's mystical, and the action is completely inside of us.
So can you explain one thing to me? We're going to hear it. In fact, in order to get through some of the reviews that we're going to do here in the next couple segments, we have to attenuate it. We actually have to fade out at a certain point because of, quite honestly, Brian, the repetition. A lot of these songs, even as they're recorded for sale, end with about half of the track repeating the chorus or the bridge or something along those lines. Can you, from your former perspective, explain to me the function of this almost endless repetition that seems to typify so much of this music?
There's going to be a number of things that are going to kind of give us the, that are going to tip the hat to the fact that most of contemporary worship is what we call mystical. That is, it's trying to induce an internal experience of the presence of God. That's its goal. That's what it's getting towards. And the repetition is just one of those indicators. So that you're repeating something over and over and over, it almost becomes a hypnotic mantra. This is part of the strategy to induce an emotional or an emotive or psychic reaction. That's part of it. There's other things too that we can see in the praise songs that that lead to that as well.
Is this an intentional strategy? Use the strategy. Do you believe it's an intentional strategy?
I don't know. I don't want to speculate on that. I might start asking some of these guys if it's intentional. But I don't think it has to be intentional. I think they can stumble across these things that work, that really get people there in the mood and in the place where they want them to be, and they found that this repetition is something that works. I think if you came along and talked to the people that are writing these praise songs and you said, hey, you're a mystic, and they say, well, what's that? And you explain it to them, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm a mystic. But I don't think they're studying mysticism to come up with it. I don't think our flesh has to study mysticism because it's our natural religion to be mystical.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're going to do a review of popular praise and worship music. On the other side of the break, we'll review the top three praise and worship songs listed by CCLI. That's the Christian Copyright Licensing International. Mighty to Save will be one of them. How great is our God, and blessed be your name. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of the weekly radio program called Table Talk Radio. Our call-in number live this Tuesday afternoon, April the 6th, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado; St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri; Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana; Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee; and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're going to review some popular praise and worship music. As time permits, we'll try and get through three of the top, beginning with the most popular, according to the CCLI, Mighty to Save, sung by Laura Story and written by Ben Fielding and Reuben Morgan. Before we hear the song, Brian, what should we be listening for?
You know, I think we put together something called, for Table Talk, something called the Criteria for Determining the Usefulness of a Praise Song. It's or affectionately known as the Praise Song Cruncher. And we have five questions. Now, the last question is there any false teaching? The cruncher actually came about, though, because I realized that question, early kind of in doing this, that question isn't enough, because oftentimes there's no teaching at all. There's not going to be any truth or any falsehood because something is happening in the praise song that's not didactic. It's not for the purpose of teaching. It's inducing an emotive response. That's what's happening. So to get our hands around that, I want to propose five questions. The first question is Jesus mentioned? Yes or no? And if he's mentioned, is it by name or concept? Just to kind of clarify that. The second question is the song clear? Does it use sentences or sentence fragments? And I think this is a really interesting thing because the more we look at the praise songs, we realize that they're actually not using sentences. That's why you can't. That's kind of the lowest common denominator of communication is the sentence. And if you break it down into phrases, you're not actually communicating anything. You're causing an impression to be left on a person, and that's one of the things that a praise song is going to be doing. The third question is objective or subjective. Is it about the things that the Lord has done, or is it about my own experience? The things that are happening inside of me. The fourth question is, are law and gospel present, and are they rightly divided? And then the fifth question is there any false teaching?
All right, so that's what we're going to be listening to. The first song we're going to be listening to, Mighty to Save, sung by Laura Story, written by Ben Fielding and Reuben Morgan. Brian, that's the substance of the song, Mighty to Save. Strengths and weaknesses, Brian?
Well, the song certainly mentions Jesus. Jesus, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He's the Savior, the author of salvation. It mentions these things about Jesus. And so these are good things. that the song has in there. But when we begin to dig into the song, and we're not just going to see it in this song, but in the other two, I mean, all three of these top three songs are, they're very good on what makes a good praise song. They're full of sentence fragments. Like, for example, Savior, it's just there, Savior. It's kind of lifted out. A love that's never failing, the kindness of a Savior. There's constantly this kind of fragmentary impression that's in the songs, and so it becomes unclear. For example, a line here, this must be second verse or something. It says, "I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender." Well, are you giving your life to follow everything you believe in, or are you surrendering everything you believe in? I mean, there's no way to actually sort out what that thing there means. In fact, it doesn't have meaning. It's not actually saying anything. And so the song becomes, I mean, when you really kind of get down to it and ask, what am I singing when I sing these words? There's no answer.
Is the ambiguity there, and you've pointed out, that struck me too when I was looking at the lyrics as we were listening to it, that there is a grammatical ambiguity, okay? I mean, let's just be honest about it. Is that ambiguity in service of kind of the mechanism that is the praise and worship song, which is I can sing these words along with the praise band, and they can kind of mean what I want them to mean?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I could say, so I'll tell you something, steaming hot spaghetti. Now, that thing there, steaming hot spaghetti, is not it's not actually saying anything. It's impressing upon your mind.
It does evoke an image.
Yeah, that's right. It creates an image, and everyone's image is going to be slightly different, but it doesn't say anything, like steaming hot spaghetti is good, or yesterday, my cat ate all of the steaming hot spaghetti, and a terrible mess resulted. I mean, it's not saying something; it's just invoking an image, and that's what these phrases do. So that the more I can, so you're causing a kind of a psychic response rather than an engagement, a mental engagement, and that's one of the art of the praise songs, is to move beyond mental engagement to the heart language. You see, so now it's moving me, and so you're just throwing these phrases together: mighty to save, forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Take me as you find me. All my fields and failures, fill my life again. Fill my life again. What does that mean? That's a sentence, but does it have meaning? And what does it mean to be filled again? And what does it mean that Jesus fills my life? But it is invoking these. It's bringing about this experience. This song rates very low on the clarity and very high then on the mysticism content. It's probably why it's number one.
Fill My Life Again seems to say that my life. It seems to imply, and this again is all by inference. It's not by any implication or explicit statement. Seems to say life empty. I'm trying to use their mechanism here. Life empty needs to be filled. What's the picture of the Christian's need in terms of law and gospel, if we could? What's the picture here being presented of what Jesus does for the Christian?
Well, I mean, maybe that's in the first part. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing, forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, hope of the nations, which that line doesn't make sense. I don't know exactly why it's in there in the first part. But so it's kind of listing this I'm emptiness, I'm void, and this is the language of mysticism, is the language of wilderness versus the language of refreshment, you see? So I'm dry, I'm thirsty, I'm empty, I need to be filled. And that's why in the first line it says, let mercy fall on me. See, this idea that mercy is kind of poured out, and it's poured into me so that I'm a vessel and I'm either empty or full. And this is really, this is the paradigm that even biblical paradigms sometimes that the mystics are going to grab onto for their imagery of what it means to be a Christian. It means I'm now filled up. I am kind of overflowing. I'm fruitful and abundantly satisfied by the Lord. This sort of thing. So you see a lot of that kind of language. And the other thing that's in here too. I mean, the word mighty is over and over and over. Glory and might, the Lord's power. So that a lot of these songs are going to tend to the, mysticism does this in just in general to the. It's going to tend to the theology of glory, so that the strength of the Lord is being extolled.
Real quickly, about 30 seconds, the substance of the song ends with the bridge where it says, "Let the whole world see we're singing for the glory of the risen King Jesus." The emphasis here does seem to be on, as you pointed out before, action inside or by me, rather than the emphasis finally upon what Christ has done for us. 30 seconds for your thoughts.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the chief criticism of contemporary worship always is that it's about I, about me. I don't think that's the chief problem, but it is a problem. So I give my life to follow, everything I surrender, we're singing. There's a lot of self-referential stuff, because the thing is not praising God, but acknowledging that we're the ones praising God.
All right, when we come back, we'll review another popular praise and worship song. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. It's Tuesday afternoon, April the 6th.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
What if we could take the ultrasound machine to the pregnant woman contemplating abortion? In over a dozen areas of the nation, it's being done. Image Clear Ultrasound is equipping RVs with an ultrasound machine and retrofitting them with exam rooms. This enables pro-lifers to reach many women who wouldn't otherwise get their help. The acronym ICU has a double meaning, as in ICU, little baby. Last year, these mobile women help centers saved well over 500 babies from abortion, and they're sharing the message of Jesus with the mothers. Most abortion-minded women choose life for their babies after coming aboard one of these mobile centers. If you're interested in details, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. It's changing the landscape of pro-life counseling.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of the weekly radio program called Table Talk Radio is our guest. We're reviewing popular praise and worship music. Brian, in the interest of complete disclosure and fairness here, we need to say that there are Lutheran hymns that are used on a regular basis that wouldn't pass through the praise cruncher unharmed, right?
Oh, no, that's right. Praise song cruncher is fairly brutal, and there are some praise songs that will pass it. Three so far, which is good. That's better than none for sure. But yeah, there are hymns that wouldn't make it too. I mean, the goal of the praise song cruncher is to be able to wrap our arms around the mystical content of a thing, because it's difficult. I mean, I think a lot of. And I've talked to pastors about this, and pastors that have praise bands and this sort of thing, and say, you know, how do you determine what's good and what's bad? And they just say, well, we just look to see if it has any false doctrine. And the problem is if there's no doctrine, there's no false doctrine. So there's you got to do something else to try to figure out what's going on in these songs. It's true, there's hymns that wouldn't pass. In fact, when we play this game contemporary or traditional on the Table Talk Radio, this terrible show you mentioned, our criteria is 1750. If it's before 1750 or after 1750, because really, in fact, in 1750, in the late 1700s, there's a big subjective move in hymnody in the church, and a lot of it has a lot of mystical content, too. So you're right, we have to be aware of this all around. It's just so overwhelming, though, in the praise song. I mean, most hymns will at least use sentences. And so they'll be actually saying something. But when you get to these songs that are just impressing these ideas over and over, you start to get the sense that something different's happening here. It's trying to do something than give me the assurance that Christ died on the cross for my sins. It's trying to invoke something in me, and so we get to look at why and what it's doing. That's what this is good for.
Well, now we should also say that fair questions of any hymn, traditional, contemporary, whatever it may be, but there is an issue of context here too, and that is a song sung in the context of a liturgy or worship service that is wholeheartedly Trinitarian, where the gospel is preached in all its fullness, where long gospel is distinguished, actually makes a difference as to whether or not these are appropriate to use. Do you agree?
Oh yeah, I mean this whole thing is a tricky question, Todd. I mean, I shouldn't say tricky question, but a difficult question, because it needs to be handled, I think, with rigor, but also with some deep pastoral care. I mean, I have been criticized, and I think rightly so, for being too harsh on this thing, because there's so many people that going to worship, this means so much to them, and to come along and degrade it is. It certainly needs to be done out of love for the gospel and love for the Lord's dear people. To say that someone's in a church that practices contemporary worship that they're not Christian or something like that is, we don't need to be overly harsh here, but we want to recognize the danger, which is a very, very serious danger, is that my confidence, my assurance of salvation, that the Lord loves me, begins to rest on my experiences or my feelings rather than on the sure and certain word of God. And that's exactly what the devil wants.
Eric tweets us. He says, be very careful about sweeping generalizations. Most of these songs weren't written for worship services, but for concerts. Your response?
Eric should know that I am a connoisseur of the oversimplified. So I was probably guilty of that. But I don't think it's true in these songs, because we're looking at the top three CCLI songs, and the CCLI numbers are measured by, that's the license that the churches get to play the songs, and then they pay the money for the rights and things like this. So that the fact that these are the top three songs means that they are the ones that have been used the most in church worship services. So these songs at least are, they might have been written for concerts. I don't think so, though, because, let's see, Mighty to Save, Hillsong, that's the praise band of that big church down in Australia. And Chris Tomlin, How Great Is Our God, that's number two. And also Matt Redmond, these are all guys that are writing praise songs. I think Chris Tomlin is a worship leader of his church in Austin. I talked to him about a year ago. And I think Matt Redmond also leads a praise band and writes songs for his church.
Carolyn says, my local Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, where I'm a member, uses all three of these songs on a regular basis in our contemporary worship service. Should I be concerned about this? About a minute for a response here.
Boy, yes, you should be concerned. I don't know how to handle this gently, though, because, I mean, the church has been duking this out for years and years. I'm trying to work on a big project that's just trying to lay this all out. Contemporary worship is mysticism, where I bring the quotes and insights from all the guys that are writing this stuff, to where if the Lutheran pastors want to come along and say, look, this is Lutheran, I say, well, if it's Lutheran, it's because you're making it Lutheran, not because it was written to be Lutheran. It wasn't written to divide law and gospel. It wasn't written to give us the assurance that Christ died for us and that we have that no matter how we feel. That's not why this stuff was written. Now, to come across and use it that way is to not use it as it was intended to be used. These guys who are writing these songs are writing them to induce in the people who sing them the experience of the immediate presence of God. That's what they say. I mean, so we have to take their word on it. That's why exactly they're writing them.
Again, what should we be listening for here, the next song that we're going to review is called How Great Is Our God by Chris Tomlin. What should we be listening for?
Look, so Jesus, again, Jesus, clarity, we're looking for sentences, we're looking for inside or outside, mysticism or objective or subjective. We're looking for law and gospel, rightly divided, and we are looking for false doctrine.
How Great Is Our God by Chris Tomlin.
Splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
There again, the substance of the song, Brian, How Great Is Our God by Chris Tomlin. Strengths and weaknesses.
Well, let's just go to weaknesses.
Well, hold on a second. I want to toss in something here.
All right, this is
quite rare because I've actually looked at CCLI numbers two for songs and gone through lyrics. And of the top 25 that I looked at recently, only one had an explicit reference to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and this was it.
I know, but look at this. I'll read the line. The Godhead, three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. You're right, it mentions Father, Spirit, Son, but then it says the Lion and the Lamb. What in the world does that mean, Todd? I mean, you see how it's there? That does not make any sense. All it says is the Lion and the Lamb, and it's right next to the Godhead, three in one, Father, Spirit, Son.
Well,
as if somehow the Lion and the Lamb is connected to the Father, Spirit, Son. I don't know.
Okay, but I'm going to give it a point for at least mentioning God in as Trinity rather than this generic God that occupies most of the hearts and minds of people who are using these songs.
Okay, I'll concede.
Okay, that raises again a question here. The God that is presented in How Great Is Our God is a God that comes in majesty, splendor, the darkness hides from him. He is great. I think we heard that pretty well explained, how great he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's eternal.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. And his name is worthy of all sorts of praise.
Mm-hmm.
Never really explains why, though, does it?
Yeah,
about 30 seconds.
No, that's so... So I was talking to Chris Tomlin, and I was talking about this, because this song has been right up there for years. I mean, this has been number one for a long time. And I asked him, I said, why are we praising God? And he says, well, because of who God is and what he's done. And I said, well, what has he done? And he says, well, he created everything. He keeps us. He sustains us. He's the author of creation. He rules over everything. And I said, I said, well, what about Jesus? He says, oh, yeah, well, and he died for our sins. But this is kind of a, oh, yeah, sort of thing. But the song doesn't mention it. It doesn't mention Christ coming in the flesh to die for our sins.
We'll take a break. More review of popular praise and worship music with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller.
Coming Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 8th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 9th. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Do you have an Issues Etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your Issues Etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus. For you. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
We know, believe we know, here at Issues, etc., how much our listeners appreciate the program. We appreciate our listeners just as much. But we also know that our listeners have stories to tell about Issues, etc., about their listening experience, about the listening experience of others, about how long they've been listening, why they listen, their favorite shows, all of those kinds of things. We call them Issues, etc., stories, and we want to hear, literally, hear your Issues, etc., story on the Issues, etc. comment line, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. I want to hear your Issues, etc. story before Thursday of this week. Just call our comment line anytime, 24 hours a day, 618-223-8384, and tell us your Issues, etc. story. Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is our guest. We're reviewing popular praise and worship music. Brian, what else do you want to say about the song we heard before the break, How Great Is Our God?
I think you should call those stories testimonies, Todd. Are you going to play those on the 24-hour Bible study?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I don't know what kind of nutter you're going to get to stay up in the middle of the night to talk about books of the Bible.
lots of them, by the way. What are you doing? What's your shift for Issues, etc. 24?
Midnight to 2 a.m., I think.
Midnight to 2 a.m. Central Time, which would be for you...
11 to 1.
11 to 1.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You know, that's all right. You get to cross the daytime line out there in the Rocky Mountains. And look, I question my own sanity with regard to Issues, etc. 24. But we love our listeners just that much. What else do we want to know about How Great Is Our God?
You know, there's this myth about praise music that the hymns are not accessible, so the praise music is more accessible. You know, the myth of accessibility, and it's just this song will prove that that is just a myth, because if you just ask someone, what is the song actually saying? I mean, no one can understand the hymns. Well, what can you understand this? It's the splendor of the king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. I mean, what is it even, what is it even talking about? So this is certainly kind of rock solidly inaccessible, because it's not actually saying anything. So this song is a great example of how that whole accessibility argument just really falls short.
Real quickly, you said that a lot of the praise and worship songs dwell in a theology of glory. This one is typical, I think. But if you're a person racked by guilt over your sin, and you go into church and you hear this song performed, you sing this off the big screen, I think you'll walk away terrified of this God rather than anyway comforted by that this God is coming your way.
Right. The greatness of God does not help me at all unless it is his exaltation on the cross, unless his greatness is hidden behind the crucified flesh of Jesus. And then his greatness can be for me and for my forgiveness. But it's not here.
Tell us about "Blessed Be Your Name" by Matt Redman.
That basically is the whole song. I mean, this is really a fantastically repetitive song. "Blessed Be Your Name." When I'm found in the desert place, I walk through the wilderness. That's the remember the mystical language of wilderness and dry places versus refreshment. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down, everything's good. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. So the point of this whole thing is, no matter what happens in the world, I am going to bless your name. But one of the crazy things about this song is that it talks about the name of the Lord, but never actually uses his name. So this is the kind of classic example of the abstraction of mysticism.
Here's "Blessed Be Your Name" by Matt Redman.
Dark
Again, the substance of the song, Blessed Be Your Name by Matt Redman. Strengths and weaknesses, Brian.
Well, this is a kind of poetic unfolding of the great confession of Job when he says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, in as far as it's kind of unfolding that biblical truth, that's good. But it doesn't. It goes on for a while and doesn't unfold it that much. There is so much comfort to be had there in those words from Job, namely that the reason why the Lord's name is blessed when He gives and when He takes away the things in this life is because He's given. He's given Jesus as the sacrifice for our sins, but this song doesn't mention Jesus. He's not mentioned anywhere in the song. It's fantastically repetitive, which puts it very high on the mystical scale. It does use sentences for the most part, most of them. Blessed be your name. So you can see it is saying something, but the repetition puts it then high on the. Objective scale, even though it's better than the others on the clarity scale. And there is no law and gospel. There's no sin. There's no forgiveness. There's no blood of Jesus. There's no blessing the Lord because He has blessed us in Christ.
Quick final question for you, Brian. Respond to someone listening who says, look, music is a matter of taste, and you just don't like this musical style. Less than a minute to respond.
Yeah, I think if we worshiped like that, we'd have Latino rap services here at Hope. But we don't have that either. I mean, look, this is we have to move beyond these subjective measures in the whole discussion. And I will grant you that we have a lot of talking with each other to do, and I hope my tone today is not... one of judgmental, but one of judgmentalism, but pastoral concern for this sort of thing, because we need to be in conversation with each other about the songs that we sing, and we need to move beyond this kind of back and forth, well, you don't like this, and you like this, whatever. That could be both. You could really like the organ. That doesn't make it right. We need to be singing and meditating and thinking on the things that Jesus has done for us, because that is the means that the Holy Spirit uses to bring us the comfort of the gospel and the forgiveness of our sins.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of the weekly radio program called Table Talk Radio. You'll find a link to Table Talk Radio at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
You got it. Talk to you Friday night.
Right. You'll be able to listen to Pastor Brian Wolfmiller for a full 2 hours on Issues Etc. 24. That's coming up starting 4 o'clock this Friday, 4 o'clock p.m. Central Time. We're going to begin 24 hours of continuous live Issues Etc. running till 4 o'clock p.m. Central Time on Saturday, all through the night. 12 books of the Bible, each getting 2 hours with its own guest, Issues Etc. 24, live beginning Friday, 4 o'clock p.m. Central Time at issuesetc.org. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, just among the, he's only 1/12 of the guests for Issues Etc. 24. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc., we'll start out with Dr. Michael New of the University of Alabama talking about state abortion laws and whether or not they affect abortion rates. Then Alan Wisdom of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. will join us. We'll talk about the battle in the Presbyterian Church USA over openly homosexual pastors. Dr. Gene Edward Veith will be with us in the last part of the second hour to talk about the 16th century Reformation artists Lucas Cranach and Albrecht Dürer. We'll talk about Christianity and the arts. That's hour two coming up in 7 minutes.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.